and welcome into another episode, the latest episode of We Are Soccer Central. How's it going? My name's Robert Kerr, here with you, hosting the program once again. The program that connects the world's game to the game being played right here in the United States. Hope you guys had a great St. Patrick's Day weekend. Big football weekend locally and globally. FA Cup action was wild on the other side of the sea. And here, closer to home, Detroit City FC kicked off their season on the road in Colorado with a late winner, with local hero Connor Rutz scoring the winning goal from his backside. Also, MLS action, Kellen Acosta scored one of, I'm hearing fluky. I just kind of raised an eyebrow, but check out Kellen Acosta's goal for the Chicago Fire over the weekend. Our friends Craig Hearn interviewed Kellen Acosta and the goalie, Mr. Chris Brady. Some sort of a Craig Hearn connection there on that wild goal over the weekend. But I would be remiss to not say happy Open Cup week. The big round one of the U.S. Open Cup kicks off this week. On the 19th, Miami and Chattanooga kick off a stacked calendar the next 3 days, the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st, with a myriad of Open Cup games. So be sure to check out our friends at thecup.us. They've got full and complete coverage over there. For previous episodes, check out We Are Soccer on YouTube and online. Last week's episode with Seattle Times sports writer Jada Evans had lots of great nuggets in there. And the news continues. We touched on it a little bit in that conversation about the Seattle Reign, but news of the sale of the Seattle Reign coming through today. So ongoing story there, but Seattle, such an active soccer scene. It was great to talk to Jada about all the happenings in the Pacific Northwest and our Michigan bass player, Miss Bethany Balser. But this week on the program, we talk about Midwest Premier League, a grassroots summer semi-pro amateur league that was founded and is run by its members, clubs. So this is year four, and I thought it would be a good time to welcome in the commissioner of the league, Mr. Pat Hodgins, to talk about the exciting stuff going on, promotion relegation, two divisions in Michigan, and some hyper-local and very creative teams. So I always like talking Midwest Premier League, a great platform for amateur teams to really develop their own identity and to give players a great place to perform. So check it out. My interview with Pat Hodgins, Midwest Premier League Commissioner, here on We Are Soccer Central. Welcome back into We Are Soccer Central. I'm very excited for our next topic and our next guest. The Midwest Premier League is heading into its fourth year. The club-run Summer Amateur League has set itself apart from the others that run in the same part of the calendar, being created and led by its clubs. And I'm joined now to talk a little bit about what year four brings to the Midwest Premier League. I'm now joined by League Commissioner Pat Hodgins. Welcome to We Are Soccer Central, sir.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Robert.
So it's year four for the league, year two for you. Just for the folks that are listening who don't know the summer amateur season and Midwest Premier League, kind of what's the premise behind the league you run?
Sure. So we're a semi-professional amateur league that runs mainly like May 1 through like the first week of August. You know, most of the teams are pretty heavy on the college players. So as the college season starts to ramp up in late July, early August, a lot of players start heading home. So, you know, we're filling a good void for those kids and for the soccer market between, you know, May and August.
So the Midwest Premier League consists of four divisions and 37 teams. So That's pretty exciting, giving a lot of amateur teams a platform to kind of be free to be themselves. It was started by the clubs, obviously. And what was the process of you becoming the commissioner?
Yeah, so I joined the Midwest Premier League. Last year was my first full year as commissioner. My background is in youth soccer. I work full time for a state association, and then I've been involved with Bavarians as their coach from 2012 up until 2023. So I was transitioning out of coaching men's soccer. And looked at the Midwest Premier League as a good way to stay involved with the adult space and help the clubs and grow the league a little bit. So
I've been fortunate enough to attend the majority of the winter meetings for the league and get to hear some of the new initiatives. It seems year on year trying to improve quality and add another element to the league. Kind of what is new to the Midwest Premier League in 2024?
well, the big one that I think has made most of the headlines for the league this offseason is that we're going like promotion relegation for the Heartland Conference or the Heartland Division, which is mainly like Illinois, Wisconsin teams. So that was our big initiative. The clubs really were driving that to get us into two tiers. So we'll have a tier one that'll have six teams and a tier two that'll have seven teams. Going through the process of finalizing how teams will move up, how many teams are going to move up, how many teams are going to move down as we head into the start of the season. But for us, that was a really big initiative. I know other leagues have really talked about the concept of pro rel, and we were really fortunate that our clubs in the Heartland were supportive of it. And we got that initiative off the ground. Some other things we're really working on is working with our clubs to making sure that their games are streaming and accessible for the public. We always want people to go attend the games in person and to be able to, create a good atmosphere at games, but we want those to be available through a streaming service so people can watch those games. And then we're really trying to focus on the marketing of our league, and our players and our clubs, because we do have really good clubs, we have really good players, and they all have stories that need to be told.
Yeah, lots of hyper regional and self-expressive clubs. You mentioned the promotion relegation in the Heartland Division. Clubs like Roscoe, Berber City, Edgewater, Green Bay Glory, Rockford, and Strikers Fox Valley. So some pretty specific areas there that they're representing. And then the first division is the club that you said you spent a long time with, Bavarian. Chicago House, DeKalb, Adria, Steel City, and another one from Chicago that I'm not familiar with, Zarni, Yazlo. So there is, for, correct me if I said that correctly.
No, that's correct. That's correct.
Oh, swinging a hit. That's good.
Yeah.
And so that's just one of the divisions. So that is largely Chicagoland up into Wisconsin, and then out into the more rural regions of Illinois, but there's also two divisions in Michigan, and then also the Gateway Conference. I know that was when I was at the all general meeting 2 years ago. That was something that was definitely in its infancy. It's got eight teams now in 2024. Is that getting on stronger footing?
Yes, it is. We have four teams that are kind of based in like the St. Louis metro area. I think Junction is technically in like the Springfield, Bloomington, Illinois area. So we have four clubs that are kind of make up more of like a St. Louis market, and then four that are in Iowa. And because we want to limit the amount of travel, they'll play each other twice, kind of home and away, and then they'll play everybody from the other group. Two teams home, two teams away to within that conference, which we thought worked out pretty well for everybody to limit some of the travel because in that market, you could be looking at 4, 5, 6 hour trips, and we're really trying to avoid that. But yeah, the gateway is on much better footing now than it was this time last year. And it's great to see what's going on in Michigan. Like you said, 10 teams in the Great Lakes East, 6 teams in the West. We picked up, another Indiana team this year, so we're super excited about that. And just to try to continue, in some of those markets as we grow for 2025.
From what I'm picking up here is the Midwest Premier League is giving a platform to some teams to express themselves because some of the badges and the branding is very unique, not something you necessarily see in the American professional ranks.
Yeah, we don't have any requirements, or we're not going to tell our clubs what their logos can and can't look like, as long as they're not being vulgar or discriminatory towards other groups.
Yeah, I see some really good ones and some new ones too, but also you noted some of the one of the big things is limiting travel, from an amateur's perspective or a grassroots perspective. Travel can really to drain the tank, so that seems like it's really been a focus, right, of the league.
Yeah, I mean,
Being sensitive to that.
absolutely. I mean, absolutely. One of the things we're really built on is, sustainability for our clubs, trying to make sure that they can come back year after year and have a platform to participate in. And one of those things is keeping their costs low. We feel like we're a very affordable league. And, one of the other ways we can keep costs low is keeping their travel costs down. It starts getting expensive when you need to get buses or, reimburse players for, gas and buy meals and stuff for your players. So trying to keep those games within a certain time travel distance is really important to us. And we also think it's important that your fans can get to your games. Like you said, within Chicago, those markets are really close. You can pick up and you can go to the game, no problem. When you're talking 4 or 5 hours, to go to watch your team, that might, sway some people not to attend some of those away games, and kind of takes away from the environment.
Yeah, having that's kind of just like a natural part of an atmosphere in soccer is having the back and forth between home and away. And that's something that we're edging towards here in this country. Every now and again you get to a game where you get to have a nice crowd on each side. So there's a Chicago-based or the Heartland-based based the Pro Rel in the Heartland, the two divisions in Michigan. So each conference kind of has its own little quirk to it, which makes it fun. So I understand there's a championship game for the two divisions that battle each other in the Great Lakes, correct?
That is correct. We started that last year, where the winner of the East played the winner of the West in a Great Lakes championship game, and that was Inter Detroit and 1927 SC out of Fort Wayne. So we're going to continue with that tradition this year. So it'll also be a representative from the West will be playing a representative from the East in that championship game. I think it's scheduled for July 27th. Will kind of like be the last game of the season for those conferences.
And then another detail of the competition for another conference in the Heartland, the one where you're introducing a promotion or relegation. What are the stakes on the table for going up or down?
So we're trying to finalize the exact number of teams and how the process is going to work. If whether it's one team is going to go down and two teams are going to come up from tier two into tier one for 2025. Our board is finalizing what that looks like right now. We should have something announced publicly here in the next couple weeks, but we're just trying to get those details squared away with the teams.
What's been your favorite thing or favorite memory or moment being involved with Midwest Premier League?
Oh, I mean, I really enjoy our AGMs. And like I know you mentioned that you've been fortunate to attend them. I really just enjoy all the clubs coming together, hearing their stories, seeing the differences, but also realizing how similar we all are, like in the end, whether it's, clubs like Bavarians that have been around for almost 100 years, or you got clubs like Lansing that are, just getting off the ground. The struggles that everybody faces, and that everyone's really just trying to, do something positive within their community and really give individuals the opportunity to continue to play soccer in a very organized, professional, in an organized professional way.
So, fast forward, we put our time traveling hats on here. It's the end of August. What's a successful season for the commish?
The easy low-hanging fruits is, no significant incidents, within the league. Everybody gets the opportunity to play all their games. All of our clubs make it through the season, is a very, easy, obvious ones. But for me, if we can tell a good story of some of our clubs and push the league forward, whether it be on social media or just try to grow our reach a little bit into some new markets, and maybe draw the attention of some existing clubs as we look forward to 2025, I think would be a really good a place for us to end.
If someone's hearing this for the first time, they look up Midwest Premier League or MidwestPL.com and they see that there's a team near them. Like, what's a way for them to get involved?
Yeah, I mean, I would, like you said, reference them to the website, reach out to the clubs in their area. A lot of our clubs, are very volunteer based. They're always looking for more individuals to help them out, whether it's with game day stuff, social media stuff, just getting more knowledge about their club into the community. So most clubs, I would imagine, would be pretty accepting to those that are looking to help. Find a club in your area, and at the most basic point, get out to a game, support them, support the players on the field, and you will not be disappointed by the product that you see on the field.
Pat, thank you so much for spending some time with us and talking about the Midwest Premier League. Was there any parts of the league or anything new that we didn't cover here just now?
I would really just like to note that Chicago House on Wednesday, what Peter Wilts and Brian and Matt Poland and those guys have done, to qualify for the Open Cup now, 2 years in a row. Wednesday they host Minnesota United too, so I believe all of those games will be streamed, and if people can tune in. And watch a Midwest Premier League team play. I think they're a good representative of our league and what we're all about. So I would be remiss if I didn't mention those guys and the job that they're doing, and their team participation in the Open Cup. So.
Chicago House taking on Minnesota United 2 on Wednesday. And then Midwest Premier League giving Midwest-based amateur teams a platform to grow and dig some roots in. Thank you so much, Commissioner Pat Hodgins, for joining us here on We Are Soccer Central, sir.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Big thanks to Midwest Premier League Commissioner Pat Hodgins for breaking it down and kind of getting me excited about the summer amateur season. Promotion relegation in the state of Missouri and Iowa? Who would have thunk it? 37 teams from across the Midwest getting an opportunity to play in a sustainable and stable league. with low overhead costs. So not, what's not to enjoy there for summer soccer lovers. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in once again. Got to give a shout out to Ryan, the every week listener I got to have a chat with at St. Patrick's Day party. So that was excellent. Cheers for listening, Ryan, if you are once again. Hopefully, after our conversation, you still want to tune in. And thank you to the Michigan Soccer Central crew. We are Soccer Crew. And all the soccer lovers out there, we got lots of great content coming up on the channel and on this program in particular. So keep it locked in. And until next time, everybody, please enjoy your soccer.